We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Michael Lombardi.
The mandate has to be, look, until we fix our quarterback position, we're never going to be able to challenge these teams to win because the rules are set up against the monsters of the Midway. We can't dominate games with defense any longer.
Odyssey Sports NFL Insider.
You're supposed to solve all the problems. That's why you're making $6 million a year. You think they're giving you $6 million because they need you to look at your play sheet? Like, seriously, you're not some kid in a basement in Des Moines playing Madden.
Looking at the league from a front office perspective.
If you're Ryan Pace, the general manager of the Bears, you can't possibly watch game highlights. You can't go home on Sunday night, win, lose, or draw, and turn on your TV and watch this game. You just can't do it. You have to say to your wife, look, we're moving to Siberia. We're just going to start hunting the Siberian tigers. I mean, because we can't watch this.
Michael Lombardi, every Wednesday with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score. The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Joining the show is Odyssey NFL Insider, Michael Lombardi. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. You can also hear Michael on the GM Shuffle, his weekly podcast, available on the Odyssey app. And Michael, kind enough to join us on the guest hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Michael, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Thank you. Everything's good. Hope all is well there.
Yep. Yeah, you know, we're wondering, how the McCaskey family feels about what's happening with their team, and specifically another loss to the Green Bay Packers. They are, above all else, perhaps Bear fans, and having Aaron Rodgers declare that he owns the Bears and has his whole blanking life, still owns you, I still own you, that has rubbed some people the wrong way. Rodgers thinks everyone's soft if they take it personally, but the fan base was pretty displeased.
Well, he's 10-1 the last 11 games, you know, and what is he, 8-3 against the spread? I mean, you know, look, I think until you recognize it, I can remember getting on the team bus. We just played the Bengals and lost. We were in Cincinnati, and I just felt so dirty after losing to the Bengals, you know, and I'm like, and I sat next to Nick Saban on the team bus, and he says, what's it? He's putting the mayonnaise on his sandwich, and he said, like, what's the matter with you? And I said, I just hate losing to these guys. He said, until we admit they're better than we are, we're never going to beat them. And I think that's where the Bears are. Until you admit the Packers are better than you, you're never going to come back and beat them.
That's interesting, Michael. You know, as speculation then begins, and we hear a lot about Nagy has to go, and at the end of the year, Pace has to go. I wonder, just from a league perspective, around, you know, guys like yourself who talk to executives, is Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, are they a package deal? Do you view them separately? Is it possible to distinguish one from the other when you're deciding whether or not one should stay or one should go, or are they both together?
I kind of think they're both together. I mean, you know, I mean, Pace was part of the hiring of Nagy. They've been together. I mean, you know, if you fire Nagy, you know, was it his fault that you picked Trubisky? You know, I mean, was it his fault that, you know, some of these signings didn't work out? I mean, you know, so, and he's only dealing with what he's dealing with. I mean, it, you know, he can only coach the players that Pace brought in. you know. So I think it's kind of a package deal. And I think, you know, for the McCaskies, they have to ask themselves the fundamental question. If we make a change here, what really improves us? Will this improve us? And that's always the hardest sentence to finish in the conversation is, will it improve us? You know, if we fire this coach, will this next coach improve us and will it make it better? And I think that's a hard question for people that really don't know the league as well as you need to know when you're making these kind of executive decisions.
Yeah, it's interesting because I was talking to a friend of mine, a scout, about this idea that if you change quarterbacks, what happens? Or excuse me, if you change coaches, what happens with the quarterback? Does the quarterback go into another year with a different scheme and having to prove that he fits in whatever they're doing? I mean, I think we look at quarterbacks and figure that they are universally capable of moving in and out of different types of schemes, and maybe that's not necessarily the case. And when they hired Nagy, the idea was that he could bring something out of Mitch that they hadn't done, and he never managed to do that, and I'm not sure that could have been done. But do you have to take your young quarterback and his development into account when you talk about who you're going to hire and how you're going to put him into a scheme?
Yeah, I think you do. I mean, look, I think one of the things the Browns have benefited by, now the Browns are 4-3 this year, and they've, you know, last week they didn't play well, but I think what the Browns did when they fired Freddie Kitchens, they sat back and said to themselves, look, this is who Baker Mayfield really is. They have more data than the Bears do on Justin Fields, but this is who Baker Mayfield is. And he's a play action pass quarterback. He's undersized. He can't see from a drop back pass game. So let's build an offense around him that features his strengths. That led him to Kevin Stefanski. Smart play. They got the best out of Baker. Now the debate is raging. Should they pay Baker the money when in reality the scheme has helped Baker? But I think that's the question you have to ask as Bear fans. I think two things you've got to say to yourself. Are we going to go hire a great leader? You know, does it have to be an offensive coach? We just went through how many years of Nagy as an offensive coach, and I don't get the sense our team's tough enough, physical enough, all those things. Are we going to go, you know, these play callers? I know Tony Romo is really pushing for Kellen Moore to be a head coach. Well, it's one thing calling plays, it's nothing being a head coach. You know, and I think we've lost sight of that a lot in the league. There's a leadership element that has to come. There's a toughness that has to be brought through your team as the head coach. And I think that's the question the McCaskey family, if they decide to make this decision, has to answer is, do we go out and get ourselves a great leader and then we build the team around the quarterback through his leadership, or do we go out and hire a play caller and hope it all works out and we're basically prisoners to the staff? If we lose Vic Fangio, things fall apart. If we don't lose Vic Fangio, things are good.
And I think whoever the coach is, Michael, I think they have a quarterback in Justin Fields that is adaptable to whatever system you bring in. Not that he doesn't need coaching, but I think he's eventually going to be a real good quarterback in the NFL. I don't know that he's there yet. I think you saw against Green Bay, started fast, finished strong, in between a lot of unevenness. When you evaluate Justin Fields this far, this early into his rookie season, what do you see?
Well, I think a lot of times when he can get things going the way he practiced them, he'll execute. I think like a lot of young players, and I used to say this about Mitch all the time, is if it didn't go the way he practiced it, then all of a sudden he becomes a little bit stagnant in his decision-making process. You know, if we're going to run this play and we think they're giving us this look, throw the ball here, and he did it 2 days a week in practice, Wednesday and Thursday, he'll do it well in the game. It's when the play breaks down and there's improvisation that has to take part in terms of not his athletic skills, but in terms of his just mind processing it. And I think only that comes with reps. I mean, look, I think Mac Jones is playing really well for the Patriots, but, you know, Mac Jones has cost the Patriots 2 games so far this year. You know, he's got a chance to throw an angle route to Bourne for a first down, and it gets tipped at the line. Last week, he's got Bourne coming across the middle, wide open. He throws the ball on the outside. It would have been a first down. Those are the rookie mistakes that you just have to live with. The guys, when they play, the more they play, they'll learn that, hey, we're throwing this ball to this guy. We're not throwing it outside here, you know, and it's just part of the whole program that you have to kind of work your way through.
The greatest problem the Bears have, it seems, is they can't score. I mean, it's just crazy how they can't score, and you're not going to be able to beat a good – if you're averaging 16.3 points a game, you're not going to be able to go down to Tampa and be able to beat a team that's averaging twice as many. It just seems fairly obvious looking at this team that they got to score.
It's hard, you know, and they're going to have to create plays with their kicking game. I mean, but that's been the case with Nagy's teams for a while.
Yeah.
Is they haven't scored, you know, and, you know, they don't, you know, and they don't really have explosiveness. I've said this often, is there's no Rue in the guru. You know, it's one thing you hire an offensive coach and your offense struggles. Where are you? You know, and I think that's the problem. And that's what's happened to the league. We've hired so many play callers that we've lost sight of true leadership that's essential to being a head coach. And you go down to Tampa, you know the game's going to be in the 20s. You know it's – I mean, you're not going to – if you play great defense against Brady, and if Robert Quinn doesn't play because he's on COVID this week, you know, if you play and you score, that's the problem with Green Bay. You know, Green Bay was going to get the game into the 20s, and Rodgers was, what, 2-for-8 on third down?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't play great in that game. I mean, they ran the ball on him. They play cover two. They let him run the ball on him. But the same thing with Brady. You're not going to hold Brady to 16 points and think you're going to win. I mean, the Patriots did in the rain, and that the rain really helped them hold them to 19. So you're going to have to figure out a way to create field position through your kicking game, through a trick play, through something. To gaining an extra possession. And that comes down to how a head coach decides to set up the game plan and manage the game.
And Michael, you mentioned Tampa, and you look at Bruce Arians as an example of a guy that is a strong offensive coordinator, maybe a play caller, becomes a stronger head coach. And now he has a Super Bowl championship. He had to adapt probably to Tom Brady in ways that we may never know, but is a great problem to have, but he did so. What to you was the most important thing Bruce Arians did to become the kind of head coach that he is?
I think adaptability is the number one strength of any head coach, right? I mean, look, they're running Brady's offense. I can call the plays for you. You know, they're not running Bruce's offense. They still take shots down the field like Bruce wants, but they're running Brady's plays, and that's what they should run, you know, and that's what they should do. And I think that Bruce has gotten out of the way and allowed Brady to kind of lead the team in his way, because Brady's voice can be so powerful in that locker room in terms of the work ethic, in terms of being able to get the players to buy in and fully. They don't have those ups and downs like they've had in the past where, you know, you come off a big win and the next week you don't play well. You know, they'll play as well against the Bears because they're coming off of some rest, and they won't take the Bears lightly because that's just the way Brady is. I think that's certainly a great thing. When your best player sets the tone of intolerance for anything that gets in the way of winning, you've got a great team, and that's Brady.
David just told you he thinks that Justin Fields is going to be a good player. Do you feel that way?
I don't know yet. I think it takes at least 20 games to really make that full decision. I think it takes really good coaching, and I worry about his anticipation. You know, I worry about, will he let the ball go before the receiver breaks open? I worry about that on all these guys that come from college that are ingrained into the RPO system. Do they have anticipation to make the throw? But athletically, he certainly shows it. I think he's got enough toughness, and I think the game's important to him. I really do. I mean, just watching his behavior on the sidelines, I think it's important to him. So I think it's going to take a little bit more time. But if you said to me, what offense do you think Fields will be really good in, I would not have a great answer for you yet, although I would say this. I think he'd be better under center more than he would be in shotgun, because you're going to need to separate the defense and play action pass for him. That I would say. And I think we've kind of gotten too far into this RPO scheme, and we're in shotgun all the time, and we've hindered the quarterback in terms of giving him the advantage of play action pass separation of the defense.
If you were in a meeting room at Hallis Hall Monday morning and somebody said, would Andy Dalton have given you a better chance to beat the Packers, what would your answer have been?
My answer probably would have been, you know, maybe. I don't think it maybe would have. I think, you know, Fields got sacked, what, 4 times in a game? Dalton might have got sacked 8. You know, I think that our limitations in the offensive line would have hurt us. You know, I mean, I think what we're striving for is something bigger than the first just beating the Packers. We got to build a program here. And I think you've got to look long term.
Right.
If you look short term, you know, you're just really not going to go anywhere.
You know, it's really weird because I think they're running the football, but they're not really benefiting from the play action. They're not, you know, we don't see them hit many down the field play action passes, and it's because I don't think their running game is being sort of duplicated in their passing
game. The sequencing is off.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's not a marriage between the two. I mean, when you watch Sean McVay, every run has a play action pass to it.
Right.
Every run concept has it. You know, when their longest pass play is 64 yards to Mooney. You know, the next longest pass play is, I think, 28 yards. I mean, they do not get the ball down the field. And the one thing is, when you ask that question about Dalton, I think the reason you're running the ball so well is because Fields is in the game. And you're forced to run the ball. If Dalton was in the game, you probably would be trying to run sticks and spacing and doing all the things that the West Coast wants to do, but it doesn't really help your team become powerful. And so I think that his presence has allowed the running game to really help and shine and keep the score to where it's manageable. You know, you go into Las Vegas and you go out there and win that game because you're able to keep the score manageable for yourself.
Great stuff, Michael, as always. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, guys. Talk next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.